This podcast discusses topics involving human death. Listener discretion is advised. My name is Ivy, and welcome to the Taphophile Diaries. A taphophile, also sometimes called a tombstone tourist, is defined as an individual who has a passion for and enjoyment of cemeteries, epitaphs, gravestone rubbing, photography, art, history of deaths, and more. So if this sounds like you, you might just be a taphophile. Episode 8, Victorian Cemetery Picnics. To some, the idea of having a picnic in a cemetery is absurd. Who would want to sit on the same ground where we bury the dead? Well, this was actually common practice for some time, especially during the Victorian era. It was normal for funeral goers to remain in the cemetery after a loved one's burial to eat, drink, and share memories about the life recently lost as they all mourn together. In fact, there were undertakers, also known as funeral directors or morticians, who would rent out wagonettes for mourners to use for these post-funeral cemetery picnics. And because cemetery grounds tended to be well-kept, they almost began to act as public parks, partly because of just how many people died during the Civil War, and even post-Civil War due to epidemics like the cholera and yellow fever outbreaks. All of this death meant that burial sites weren't reserved for small family plots or churchyards like they used to be. They simply got too full and overcrowded, and we needed more space. So we saw larger open fields to solve this problem. Myself and many other taphophiles refer to cemeteries as gardens of stone, and we aren't wrong. With the addition of trees and beautiful springtime flowers and fauna, winding paths, ponds, pavilions, and of course statues of angels and headstones carved with doves, roses, and cherubs, it makes sense that these newer, larger, well-kept cemetery grounds would become a nice place to spend a lovely spring or summer day. And sometimes it wasn't just for funerals, but people would go and randomly picnic with their loved one's grave, or even relax and picnic in a random cemetery where they didn't have any loved ones buried. And why not? Because imagine this. You've laid out a blanket on the lush green grass. Yew and cypress trees offer you a cool shade from the sun. Butterflies and bees are feasting on the newly bloomed roses as squirrels and robins rustle around the bushes of holly. I cannot imagine a better way to spend the day. Eating and drinking in cemeteries did eventually become a bit of a problem for the Victorians because of the nuisance that is littering, a tale as old as time and something people still do today. Cemetery groundskeepers grew tired of having to constantly clean up after messy picnic goers, so much so that in 1875, some national cemeteries began to ban food and drink entirely. Soon after, public cemeteries would also adopt this rule, and slowly the new laws and attitudes towards the idea of having a picnic in a cemetery faded into distant memory. But in recent years, the tradition has gone through a revival. A couple of great examples of this are in my current residence of Kansas City. Famously, in 2008, Elmwood Cemetery in Kansas City, Missouri held the Elmwood Family Picnic, complete with picnic tables lining the winding paths through the cemetery, and even tents with local businesses and food suppliers who joined in on the fun. The event was a huge success, and it became an annual tradition in Elmwood, which sometimes sees hundreds of visitors who travel across the states for the Elmwood Family Picnic. Union Cemetery, also in Kansas City, Missouri, has also joined in on some festivities and hosts a wide variety of events, from teaching the public how to clean headstones, which is a class I will be taking there soon, to hosting a new annual art fair on the cemetery grounds. They even have a gift shop. Yes, you heard me correctly. Union Cemetery has a gift shop where you can buy t-shirts, tote bags, and stickers to show your support for Union Cemetery and to help fund their research and preservation efforts. States away in Pennsylvania, the Shawnee Cemetery Preservation Association of Wilkes-Barre also held its first picnic lunch on their cemetery grounds back in the early 2000s. Another Pennsylvania favorite is Laurel Hill Cemetery, which was founded in 1836 by a horticulturalist who was upset over the state of the cemetery where his deceased daughter was interred. So, with the help of some prominent and wealthy locals, he created a new large cemetery, Laurel Hill Cemetery, which was designed for public use and acted as a cultural attraction, complete with a Roman-style archway to greet you, terraces, larger-than-life mausoleums and statues for the wealthy who were buried there, and of course, the perfectly landscaped grounds. By the 1840s, the refinement and elegance of this cemetery drew so many visitors that tickets were required for entry, which I didn't know was a thing until researching for this episode. By 1860, it was estimated that Laurel Hill Cemetery saw around 140,000 visitors annually. But the hype here slowed down, and by the 1970s, like many grand cemeteries of the past, it suffered severe neglect and vandalism. But thankfully, funds would be raised and preservation efforts took place, and along with other cemeteries, as I mentioned previously, Laurel Hill has also gone back to its former glory and sees plenty of annual visitors who come to admire it once more. Mount Holly Cemetery in Little Rock, Arkansas, has since also hosted similar events with music, food, and even a silent auction. And for any listeners in Colorado, I learned that the newer Seven Stone Cemetery in Littleton was intentionally designed to not only accommodate, but also promote gatherings for families and the community. Pictures of it online show the stunning landscaping, trees, and colorful reclining chairs that you can just go and sit in and relax, whether you have family buried there or not. They want you to just go and spend time there. I think that this is all such an amazing way to respect the dead by acknowledging them, maintaining their final resting place, and admiring the beauty that is our cemeteries. When talking about the history of picnics and cemeteries, there is one notable event that cannot be left out. If we take a step back to the early 1800s in Britain, you will also see the same issues we had here in America, where I am. Small, overcrowded cemeteries and not enough space for the newly dead. So in 1832, British Parliament put into place seven new private cemeteries, which would go on to be known as the Magnificent Seven. And to be buried in one of them was a great honor and really showed off your wealth and status. And for these Magnificent Seven, it was stated that it would be, and I quote, "beneficial to public morals, to the improvement of manners, but are likewise calculated to extend virtuous and generous feelings. A garden cemetery is the sworn foe to preternatural fear and superstition." So here, the goal was to have these large, exclusive, beautiful cemeteries that would make it feel as though being buried there was an honor. They also used the word garden to describe them, and this would popularize the creation of more garden cemeteries, which were a stark difference from the older cemeteries. These new garden cemeteries weren't small, cramped, and smelling of human decomposition as it permeated the ground. Instead, the dead would now be buried in well-kept spaces of peace and beauty as they lay in their eternal rest. And of course, their living family and friends could come visit, and the act of visiting the dead like this fit in with the memento mori attitudes of the time but giving it an air of something beautiful and not quite as grim as some of the older cemeteries we were used to. And this did help to improve some of these attitudes towards death, which is something that Victorians were surrounded by. And the reminder of this death, which could be just around the corner for them, reminded them to enjoy their life because their time of eternal rest could also come soon. But to conclude this episode, I love that I get to be alive during this time of renewed, growing interest and passion in cemeteries and what we can continue to do with that space. But I will note that it's always important to keep an eye out for mourners and to give them space, especially if you encounter an active funeral service while you're going to a cemetery to picnic. And if you bring your dog to your local cemetery, please pick up their poop. Sincerely, a taphophile who is so tired of stepping in dog poop every time they visit their favorite cemeteries. That is all that I have for this episode. Let me know your thoughts and if you plan on picnicking in a cemetery this spring or summer. As always, the sources I used for this episode are all linked in the show notes below, as well as links for the podcast's Instagram, Facebook page, and website. And please don't forget to subscribe or follow and leave a rating or review. That is the simplest and easiest way to show support for your favorite podcasts and to help us get the word out there. And remember to join me next time for episode 9 of the Taphophile Diaries. And just so you know, if you do find me on social media, feel free to reach out with your own cemetery episode suggestions. I want to know what topics you want to hear more about. This podcast is produced, researched, and edited by me, Ivy Boyd. Music is by Dimitri Terrace from Pixabay.